Can you describe the biological importance of actionable mutations like ROS1, RET, and NTRK?
Today in 2022, we're up to 9 actionable oncogenes, which should be tested for early on at the time of diagnosis in patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer. And ROS1, RET, and NTRK are now part of that. NTRK, for example, is so rare that you wouldn't be testing for it by itself, but it's included in all the comprehensive genomic profiling platforms that are out there. So you may be looking for something else like ALK and find NTRK in your patient. These are all fusions, so it's a little different from mutations. So that means that testing for them is a little more complicated, but still meets FDA guidelines, even for just platforms that are DNA alone. These are drivers. So in patients with these oncogenes, they typically, at least at presentation, they don't have other mutations. It's this alone that's driving the proliferation and growth of that cancer. And we now have highly effective drugs against each of these targets.
How do you test for these mutations, and when do you test?
The testing for these mutations, as for all of the driver oncogenes where we have FDA-approved therapies, this is at the time of initial diagnosis in a patient with stage 4 or locally advanced, but not amenable to combined modality therapy. So advanced stage non-small cell lung cancer at the time of diagnosis. These days, especially in the United States, we would use a next-generation sequencing platform, either in tissue or more in many cases in blood to assess for these abnormalities. These are fusions, so it's a little more complicated, but we're picking up most of these with our commercially available comprehensive genomic profiling.
What is the incidence of these mutations in non-small cell lung cancer?
These three oncogenes, ROS1, RET, and NTRK, are uncommon to rare. So, for example, they're not like EGFR mutation. They're, I would say, NTRK, of course, is the most rare, 1% or less than 1% at best. And the others are in the 2 to 3% range, depending on the histologic subtype and so forth. But they are uncommon. So, without a next-generation sequencing platform, you're going to miss these.
Can you speak about targeted therapeutic strategies available for patients with a ROS1 mutation? What is under investigation, and can you touch on recent clinical trial data?
Well, ROS1 fusions are very closely related in terms of the kinome to ALK. So it's not unexpected that some of the drugs that are active in ALK, but not all of them, are also active in ROS1 patients with ROS1 abnormalities. So crizotinib, our original ALK inhibitor, is actually very active in patients with ROS1 fusion cancers. Also, ceritinib and more recently, entrectinib, lorlatinib also has activity. One of these agents, especially the first three, would typically be what you would use in frontline therapy for a patient with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer that was ROS1 positive. There is also an ongoing phase III trial comparing entrectinib to crizotinib. Based on the high response rates and other data we have in entrectinib, I would presume that trial will be positive, but we have to wait for the data.
Can you speak about targeted therapeutic strategies available for patients with RET mutations, and what is under investigation?
For those patients with RET1 fusions in their cancer, the last 2 to 3 years has entirely transformed our therapeutic approach. Before that, we had several drugs which are so-called multi-targeted tyrosine kinase inhibitors, such as cabozantinib, and several others that had activity, but it wasn't sufficient to make RET drugs the first line therapy, but that's flipped entirely now. We now have two drugs, selpercatinib and pralsetinib, both of which are extremely active with long duration of response, very good progression-free survival and survival. These are now both used in RET as frontline therapies. Again, there are phase three trials, I think, being done entirely from a regulatory standpoint, comparing these drugs to chemotherapy. But I don't think anybody who has access to the drugs, such as we do in the United States, would think that they would give chemotherapy instead of those agents. And I think this is, again, it's like hitting a grand slam home run if you're a baseball fan.
Please comment about targeted therapeutic strategies available for patients with NTRK mutations. And also, can you describe agents under investigation and recent clinical trial data?
NTRK is a little different from the other fusions that we've talked about in that it is extremely rare in non-small cell lung cancer. It's found in a whole host of other cancers, but again, uncommonly. But here, and the reason I say it's a little different is there's a concept for oncogene-driven cancers that if you have it in one cancer, the drugs are going to be active in another cancer type. And sometimes that's not really true, but it is for NTRK. So here we have some very specific drugs, larotrectinib, entrectinib, which are highly active in NTRK fusion cancers and would be considered first-line therapy. Now, again, without using next-generation sequencing, you would not pick up these abnormalities. And it leaves us then, if we're doing next-generation sequencing in all patients with non-small cell lung cancer, and the latest data suggests it's being done maybe 65% of the time across the United States, then you're going to pick up these abnormalities. However, what if you have a patient with another type of cancer? Here it's more difficult because unless you do next-generation sequencing, which might not be otherwise indicated in a tumor type, you might miss them. But if you do detect them, again, highly treatable, this is really quite an achievement.